धर्म खाल होइल से खाले बिलान।
When the Lord desired to appear for another reason, the time for promulgating the religion of the age also arose.
Dui hetu avatari loya bhaktagan apane aswadi prema namas hankirtan.
Thus, with these two intentions, the Lord appeared with his devotees and tasted the nectar of prema with the congregational chanting of the holy name.
Sedwari achandali kirtana sanchari nama prema mala ganti parayla samsari.
Thus he spread kirtan even among the untouchables. He wove a wreath of the holy name and prema with which he garlanded the entire material world.
Emata bhakta bhava kori angikar apani achari bhakti kori la prachar.
In this way, assuming the sentiment of a devotee, he preached devotional service while practicing it himself. Srila Rupa Goswami teaches us that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most magnanimous of all avatars because he is giving freely the essence of all religion.
Prema Kumartha Mahan.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not come to invent a new religious system. He has Krishna himself, Vedaishta Sarvaraham Eva Vejo, Vedanta Krit Veda Vedeva Chal. Krishna explains that I am the author of all the Vedas. So that same Krishna came to extract the essence of the
Artha, Kama, Dhamma, Moksha.
These are the four principal subject matters of the Vedas. To approach the Supreme for the purpose of economic development, sense gratification, religiosity, piety, and liberation. But the Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, is Amalam Purana. It is the spotless, pure scripture because it kicks out all these four sub-religious principles as Kaitava Dharma, cheating religion, and deals only with Prema Pumartha Mahan,
Purushottam Siromani,
the crest jewel, highest of all truths. The ultimate goal of all knowledge of the Vedas is Prema Bhakti, pure love of God. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the role of a devotee, not only extracted the essence of the Vedas, but extracted from the Vedas the simple, sublime process which is guaranteed to awaken that love of God in everyone's heart.
And that is Nam Sankirtan, congregational chanting of the holy name of Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada explains in relationship to this verse how the Bhagavad Gita culminates in surrender to Krishna. And from the process of surrendering, we can develop further progress by learning how to love him. Love comes after complete surrender. Real love. We may have some faint shadow of love, or let us not say shadow, but a reflection of that love in our heart as neophyte devotees. The real love of God begins after complete surrender. That is why Rupa Goswami says, Adosha tatata sadhu sangotha bhajana kriya tato narta nivritti shat tato nishtaru chistata. He explains the gradual progression that at the beginning, due to the association of some devotee of the Lord, by hearing from them some faith awakened in our heart, and Krishna is so kind, he reciprocates with that faith. He sends us into the association of sadhus, sadhu sangha, satsang. There we learn the process of Vaidhi Bhakti. We learn what not to do. We learn what is favorable for the execution of devotional service and what is unfavorable. And then we have to perform tapasya because we're mostly inclined to what is unfavorable. Therefore, we have to refrain from those things.
and many things that are favorable, we have no inclination for. Therefore, we have to forcibly do like this. It is a training. Disciple means we must discipline ourselves. And through the process of this discipline, gradually we come to the stage where we are in a consciousness where the spiritual master awards a diksha, or initiation. And then after initiation, we take vows. And with those lifelong vows, we vow to obey and to be willing to humble ourselves and train ourselves in the principles of Adi Bhakti. And through regularly chanting the holy name, following the principles, and obediently serving the instructions of Guru and the Vaishnavas in the service attitude, gradually anartha nivrittisha, all the impurities in our heart are cleansed. And when all the anarthas, all the unwanted things in our heart are cleansed, then we understand what is surrender. Until then, we are attempting to surrender. We are pursuing the path of surrender. But the actual state of consciousness of complete surrender takes place anarthanivritisha, when all desires for anything but the pleasure of the Lord have been removed from our heart. And then nishta. Nishta means we have complete, unshakable faith. And then ruchi. Ruchi means that such a higher taste of love of God is beginning to awaken in our heart. We just only desire, aspire for devotional service. We have no inclination whatsoever for any material enjoyment. And from that platform, ashakti. Ashakti means attachment. We become so attached to Krishna that we cannot give up Krishna for a moment. We cannot give up thinking Him for a moment. We cannot give up serving Him for a moment. We cannot give up the lotus feet of Gurudev's order even for a moment. Because Krishna is manifesting through Guru. Even in very advanced stages, Krishna is always manifesting to us. So ashakti means we'll never give up lotus feet of Guru or Krishna. We can't stop thinking. We can't stop serving. So after anartha navritti, after complete surrender with a pure heart, which really is a liberated condition of life, then raganuga bhakti begins. Vaidhi bhakti goes through adoshatata sadhu sangota bhajana kriya tato anartha navritti. That is all vaidhi bhakti. And when we begin from that completely clean heart, in that mood of complete surrender, then nishta, ruchi, ashakti, and then gradually bhava and prema. That is raganuga bhakti. So of course we do not want to try to imitate raganuga bhakti. We want to be very obedient, humble servants under the philosophy and the teachings of our Gurudev. So here it is explained that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to teach a process which takes us from the lowest up to the highest. But we must follow according to the principles that he has given, especially through Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami. So Srila Prabhupada explains that Swarup Damodar, he has described Lord Chaitanya as Krishna himself with the attitude of Radharani, a combination of Radha and Krishna. And his intention was that Krishna wanted to taste the sweetness of the transcendental love of Sri Radha. Lord Chaitanya never cares to think himself as Krishna. He's always appearing and experiencing the mood of Supreme Devotee, Sri Radharani. And Srila Prabhupada warns us very carefully in this regard, that there are classes of imitationist devotees called Nadia Nagari and Gaur Nagari. And do not think that this is just something from some other generation. Because actually, if you mix with Gaudiya Vaishnavas, devotees of Chaitanya Sampradayas, not Sampradaya, but devotees of who follow the the way of Lord Chaitanya, at least apparently, especially in Jagannath Puri, in Vrindavan, in Mayapur, Navadvipa Dham, we will find that this Nadia Nagari and Gaur Nagaris are very, very much prominent. And what they teach, Prabhupada explains, is very much unauthorized and misleading. They oftentimes feel that they have the sentiment of gopis. And oftentimes they even dress like gopis, just to enrich that sentiment. We have seen men, they dress like gopis, they dance like gopis, everything. And their relationship with Lord Chaitanya is that they see him as Krishna, and they develop a conjugal loving affection toward Lord Chaitanya. Now, according to the authorized devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that this is a disturbance to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he came in the form of a devotee, and he came in the spirit of the love of Radha. Of course, we worship him as the Supreme Godhead, but we never interfere with his own sentiment. Therefore, we worship him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the role of his devotee. But they put aside that he took the role of a devotee, and they only worship him as the Supreme Godhead, and they artificially imitate ecstatic symptoms of weeping, crying, dancing, and all of these things in the mood that Mahaprabhu is Krishna and we are his gopis. So this is considered to be, and many other such deviations are considered a great disturbance, Prabhupada explains. He says, but the emotion, he said, a mundaner should not unnecessarily intrude into affairs of transcendence and thus and thereby displease the Lord. One must guard against this sort of devotional anomaly. And then he explains that one should follow in the footsteps of Swarup Damodar Goswami in his true understanding of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what is that? That Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself in the mood of Sri Radharani, in the guise of a devotee, and of a devotee will always accept, understand, and worship the Lord in this light only.
Dasya Sakya Vatsalya Araye Singar Chari Prema Chatur Vidha Bhakti Adhar.
Four kinds of devotees are the receptacles of the four kinds of mellows and love of God, namely servitude, friendship, parental affection, and conjugal love. In regard to this also, Srila Prabhupada many times explained, we don't want to criticize even the Nadia Nagaris or the Gaur Nagaris, because after all, they are devotees. We don't want to blaspheme or criticize anyone. But in order to protect the purity of our own understanding in our own sadhana, we must make discriminations. And Srila Prabhupada explained that in this regard, someone who is teaching something very much different, it is easy to understand that this is not what we want. This is not our line. But in the case of these types of Vaishnavas, it appears they are teaching exactly the same thing. Exactly the same thing. The only difference is their approach is different. But their approach is not authorized. It is considered an imitationist approach. And therefore, as Prabhupada explains here, such persons, it disturbs their own spiritual execution. It says presentations such as those of the Gaura Nagaris are only disturbances to the sincere execution of the mission of Lord Chaitanya. So in other words, when it appears it's just like
but the approach is not authorized. That is actually the most dangerous situation for a sincere devotee. Because he cannot see the distinction and he can easily be misled. When the distinction is very clearly seen, you won't have any. You just understand that you have your way, I have my way. But when you mix without understanding the distinction, thinking it is one, then you can easily be misled on the path of Rupa and Raghunam. Therefore, Bhakti Vinod Thakur explains in some of his writings that there are so many varieties of followers of Lord Chaitanya who have deviated from the true and pure path of Rupa and Raghunath, which is the only way of truly pleasing and attaining love of God through his teachings. And he very carefully explains that we should know what these very subtle differences are. Not that we don't offer all respect, Bhaktivinoda would offer all respect to every Vaishnava. But in his teachings to others, and in his own spiritual principles, he very clearly stuck strictly to the genuine parampara system. So our devotees should be very careful and very much on guard in this way, because we are not so expert in all of these high philosophies. It's better to just be loyal servants of Gurudev and not wander into other zones that we are not qualified to really understand, especially in the name of higher rasas. Because after all, I remember one devotee at New Vrindavan. He was complaining that our Bhagavad, Srimad Bhagavatam classes and our Bhagavad Gita classes, they're so elementary that I'm sick of hearing that I'm not my body at every class. And he's saying, this is a devotee who ultimately left his body, but he was saying that we should be reading about the higher rasas, entering into these higher rasas. A half hour later, the same devotee, his wife told me that two nights before he was intoxicated with cocaine, and he tries to have sex with her almost every other night. The next day I went, he came to me again and he said, did you approach the authorities and ask them if we could start having these more stimulating classes? And I said, first you should realize you're not this body before trying to approach these higher rasas. Have you realized that? Have you attained that state of anartha nivritti shat, where all the impurities have been cleansed from your heart? When you attain that stage, then you should really be anxious to hear about this Raghunuga level of pure love, of spontaneous love of God. Till then, we have a long way to go. We're not liberated yet. We should not take things cheaply. That is the bait that is a great diversion, is to try to give you something higher than what you already have when you're not qualified for that. Actually, they can give us the highest of everything immediately. Why don't they give? They're giving us the path to the highest, the authorized path, according to where we are, not to distract our consciousness away from humility, obedience, and service. They want to fix our mind on that, because through that process, naturally, Krishna from within will reveal everything else. But if somebody outside tries to reveal, before we have that state of purity of consciousness, then it will only disturb our minds from that faith, from that devotion, from that obedience, from that training, from that humility. Very, very essential to stay on the path of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's true teachings. So then Kaviraj goes on. Four kinds of devotees are the receptacle of the four kinds of mellows in love of God, namely servitude, friendship, parental affection, and conjugal love. Nija nija bhava sabish hasta kori mani, nija bhavi kori Krishna sukha ashvatane.
each kind of devotee feels that his sentiment is the most excellent. And thus, in that mood, he tastes great happiness with Krishna. Here we find the beautiful nature of the spiritual world, that there are four basic rasas in the kingdom of God: servitude, friendship, parental affection, and conjugal love. And it is described here that each devotee feels that his own sentiment is the most excellent, because he's perfectly satisfied. In other words, there's no envy. Like in here in India, there's the caste system. The lower castes, they feel that they're not as good as the higher castes, right? They want to take birth in a higher caste, or they want to tear down the higher caste. But in the spiritual world, there's no such thing as low castes and higher castes. It is something interesting that there are four, you could say, rasas, primary rasas. And there are also, a perverted reflection of that, you may say, is the four castes of this material world. Which means distinctions. But these four rasas, everyone is perfectly satisfied thinking that their relationship is best. Because Krishna is infinitely giving everyone his complete love. How can the Supreme Absolute Truth, who has billions and trillions and innumerable parts and parcels, he gives every one of them his complete love? How is that possible? Only for Krishna. For us, if we show someone love, somebody else feels, you're not paying attention to me. Right? If a father is partial to one child, the other child, but to show your complete love to everyone, only Krishna can do. So in this way, everyone is satisfied. The cowherd boys, they do not want to embrace Krishna, dance with Krishna. They want to play with Krishna. To them, the gopis, they're unfortunate in the sense that, not unfortunate in the way we know unfortunate, but they're thinking that the gopis, we're with Krishna all day long, and they're just home crying, wishing Krishna would come home. Boys, not all of them know what happens at night. But throughout the day, early in the morning, Krishna and the cow, Mother Yashoda dresses Krishna up. All the cowherd boys come to his house to meet him with their buffalo horns and bugles and flutes. And they all go out to the pasture grounds. How they play. They jump on one another. They play all games, imitating the peacocks and the cuckoos and the monkeys, and they wrestle. They just run with the cows, and they sing together, and they take prasad together. And constantly all the gopas are just keeping their eyes, their hearts, their ears, all their senses are just totally fixed on Krishna and Krishna. Simply pleasing Krishna. And how Krishna reciprocates with them. He jokes with them, he talks with them, he plays with them, he embraces them, he rests with them. Throughout the day. And the gopis, what are they doing? They're just crying all day. Crying in the sense, not always with their eyes, but with their hearts. They're just, when will Krishna come back? Mahaprabhu explained, Yugayatam nimeshe na chakshu shaprabhu shayatam shujayatam jagat sarvam govindamaye. That a moment, the gopis, when Krishna is away, a moment seems like 12 years or more. And a moment without Govinda, the whole universe appears like a dreary void. It's like all zero, nothing. There's nothing of any taste, nothing of any relish, nothing of any value without Krishna. So throughout the whole day, they're just to keep their composure of mind, they're just making garlands and making milk sweets and just doing so many wonderful preparations to offer Krishna when he comes back. Cowherd boys are thinking, those gopis. We're with Krishna all day. We are lucky. Huh? But then when the night comes, the gopis, they think, those cowherd boys, they don't understand what happens at night. There's no competition. There's complete satisfaction.
You're competing when you think someone else has something better than you. But in the spiritual world, everyone thinks that Krishna's, by his causeless mercy, he's giving me the best. So there's no competition. Krishna shows his love in full to every one of his devotees. So it is explained here that every devotee feels his sentiment is the most excellent. A blade of grass. Even when a blade of grass is stepped on by Krishna, he's thinking, my whole body is being completely crushed by Krishna's lotus feet. The gopis, the cowherd boys, even Mother Yashoda doesn't get completely crushed by the softness of his lotus feet. How fortunate am I, huh? Everyone is, Krishna makes everyone very happy. Supremely happy. So in this way it is being explained by Kaviraj Goswami how in the four rasas they are all situated in Ananda Shakti, total bliss, Ananda Vrindavan. Everyone is very happy in Vrindavan. But then Kaviraj Goswami wants to explain from a technical point of view. Tatashta hoya mane vicharyadi kodi sabarasa hoite swingari adik adika madhuri. But if we compare the sentiments in an impartial mood, we find that the conjugal sentiment is superior to all in sweetness. The Prabhupada explains here that in transcendental relationships, no one is higher and no one is lower. Everyone in the absolute plane is equal. But although these relationships are absolute, there are also transcendental differences between them. And thus the transcendental relationship of conjugal love is considered the highest perfection. Increasing love is experienced in various tastes. This is from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. One above another. But that love which has the highest taste in the gradual succession of desire manifests itself in the form of conjugal love. Therefore, it is called Madhurya Ras. It has two further divisions, namely wedded and unwedded love. Parakiye bhavi ati rasirulas, brajavina ihar anyatra nahivas. There is a great increase of mellow in the unwedded conjugal love. Such love is found nowhere but in Braja. This is the unique quality of Braja Dham, is this Parakiya Ras. And it is so much prominent that the Acharyas explained that all the rasas, Santa Ras, Dasya Ras, Sakhi Ras, Vatsalya Ras, and Madhurya Ras, they are all very, very deeply influenced and tinged by this concept of Parakiya Ras. Vaikuntha, there is conjugal love between Lakshmi, the goddesses of fortune, and Krishna. We cannot enter into that relationship. In Vaikuntha, we can only enter into the relationship of servant. But the goddess of fortune has that relationship of, and her immediate expansions have that relationship of conjugal love, Madhurya Ras. But it is swakya, it is wedded. Only in Braja do the gopis, headed by Sri Radhi Garani, have this relationship of Parakya Ras, which is considered by the Acharyas to be the most intensified expression of the utter freedom of pure love of God. Vrajavadhu ganir e bhava niravadi dharamadye shridharhaya bhavira avadi. So you see, Kaviraj Goswami is gradually building up to understand the technicalities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's essential gift to the world. And he explains the rasas, the four rasas, then he explains the superiority of Madhurya Ras, Then he explains in Madhuryas the superiority of Parakiras. Then he goes on. This mood of is unbounded. This mood of this conjugal love in the Parakya feeling is unbounded in the damsels of Braja. But among them it finds its perfection in Sri Radha.
Prodha nirmal bhavi prema sarabhotama krishnira madhura rasa ashvada karana.
Her pure mature love surpasses that of all others. Her love is the cause of Lord Krishna's tasting the sweetness of conjugal relationship. It is explained here that it is her love that is the cause of Krishna's tasting the sweetness of the highest loving relationships.
Atayeva se bhavi angikara kori sadhilena nija vansha gauranga sri hari.
Therefore, Lord Gauranga, who is Sri Hari himself, accepted the sentiments of Sri Radha and thus fulfilled his own desires. Lord Chaitanya is the shelter of the demigods, the goal of the Upanishads, the be-all and end-all of the great sages, the beautiful shelter of his devotees, and the essence of love for the lotus-eyed gopis. Will he again be the object of my vision? Lord Krishna desired to taste the limitless nectarine mellows of the love of one of his multitude of loving damsels, Sri Radha. And so he has assumed the form of Lord Chaitanya. He has tasted that love while hiding his own dark complexion with her effulgent yellow color. May that Lord Chaitanya confer upon us his grace. This verse is from the Stavamala of Srila Rupa Goswami. To accept ecstatic love is the main reason he appeared and established the religious system for this age. I shall now explain that reason. Everyone, please listen.
Mula hetu age slokir khaila abhas evikahi slesh se slokera artha prakash.
Having first given hints about the verse describing the principal reason why the Lord appeared, now I shall manifest its full meaning. And he's about, this is one of the most important verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the sense of understanding in principle. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is from the diary of Swarup Damodar Goswami. And it is the fifth of the original 14 verses of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I will read the English translation.
The loving affairs of Sri Radha and Krishna are transcendental manifestations of the Lord's internal pleasure-giving potency. Although Radha and Krishna are one in their identity, they separated themselves eternally. Now these two transcendental identities have again united in the form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. I bow down to him who has manifested himself with the sentiment and complexion of Srimati Radharani, though he is Krishna himself.
Radha Krishna eka atma duiteha dhari anyonye vilasi rasa ashvadana kori.
Radha and Krishna are one and the same, but they have assumed two bodies. Thus, they enjoy each other, tasting the mellows of love.
Prabhupada explains that this is a great puzzle for materialists, the conjugal love affairs of Radha and Krishna. Yesterday, someone was asking, why is Radharani female?
And of course, we try to explain that before you can understand what is Radha and Krishna, you have to transcend these material concepts of male and female. Because Radha, the Supreme One Absolute Truth, the Godhead, Krishna, expanded himself, divided himself into two for the sake of tasting ecstatic sweetness of loving relationship. Krishna is the supreme object of love, and Sri Radharani is a supreme lover of that object. They are both supreme, and they cannot be separated from one another. You cannot have a supreme object of love without having a supreme lover of that object. Radharani is the personification of all love, and Krishna is the personification of the Supreme Beloved. This is Radha Krishna. Therefore, all living entities are part and parcel of Krishna, but all devotion, which is the energy of the living entity, is part and parcel of Sri Radharani. Therefore, she is Bhakti Rupa. She is the supreme manifestation. And here is very important, the explanation in technical words, and you should all learn this, of what really is this principle of Radha and Krishna.
Se dui eka ebe chaitanya gosai rasa ashvatite taunhe hoila ekathani.
Now to enjoy ras, they appeared in one body as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore I shall first delineate the position of Radha Krishna. From that the glory of Lord Chaitanya will be known.
Srimati Radhika is the transformation of Krishna's love. She is his internal energy called Ladini. Ladini karaye Krishna anandashvadan Ladini radvara kari bhakti raposhan.
That Ladini energy gives Krishna pleasure and nourishes his devotees.
Satchidananda Puna Krishna Rasvarup Eka Ichik Chakti Tandra Dhani Retin Rup.
Lord Krishna's body is Satchit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. His one spiritual energy manifests three forms. Ladini is his aspect of bliss, Sandhini of eternal existence, and Samvit of cognizance, which is also accepted as knowledge. So here we find the explanation of the three divisions of the internal potency of the Lord. The Lord has four. The Lord appears. Or let us see, the absolute truth includes four principles. One is Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The other is the internal energy, the marginal energy, and the external energy. So here Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or Sri Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, is explaining the nature of the internal energy. There are three principles. Sandhini, Samvit, Ladini. Sandhini is the transcendental potency by which Krishna maintains his existence in the spiritual world. He maintains and manifests all the variegatedness in his spiritual world through his Sandhini potency. Samvit is the transcendental potency by which he knows himself and causes others to know him. And Ladini is the transcendental potency by which he possesses transcendental bliss and causes his devotee to have transcendental bliss. So what we know is Satchit Ananda. on a higher level, in the spiritual world, it appears as Sandini, Samvit, and Ladini. The Sat, eternal existence, in the spiritual world, in its fullest, is Sandini. And through the Sandini potency, all the things in the spiritual world are manifested. The land, the trees, his mother, his father, his couch, his resting place. Everything is existing within the Sandini potency. And the transcendental potency by which Krishna knows himself and causes others to know him is called Samvit, or Chit, cognitive knowledge. And Ladini is that Ananda, the bliss potency, by which he possesses himself transcendental bliss, and he causes his devotee to have transcendental bliss. And it is explained here that the total exhibition of these potencies is called Vishuddha Sattva. And this Vishuddha Sattva potency is displayed in the material world when the Lord descends. The Vishuddha Sattva potency is completely undisturbed by any types of material qualities. Vishuddha Sattva means purely composed of Sandini, Samvit, and Ladini. In this material world, the mode of goodness is called Mishra Sattva. Mishra means it's mixed. Goodness in this material world is always mixed with passion and ignorance. And then it's describing what is this Mishra Sattva, goodness in the material world. It is always mixed with passion and ignorance. So here we have that the three modes of material nature, sattva-guna, raja-guna, tamaguna, they are always blending together and mixing. When one is prominent, it's considered that one is sattvic. When another is prominent, it is considered you are rajasic. When another is prominent, we are influenced to be tamasic. But they are all simultaneously existing. Vishuddha sattva cannot be found as long as we have material consciousness. Vishuddha sattva is that level where there is absolutely no tinge of passion or ignorance. And it is explained here that in the material world, sattva guna is when the modes of material nature are not manifest. And raja guna is when the modes of material nature are in an active way, producing varieties of material existence. And tamaguna is negative. It is a lack of activity and variegatedness. It is inactivity. So in this chapter, this is the description of the three modes of material nature. Sattvaguna means passive, potential. Rajaguna means active in producing varieties of material existence. And tamaguna means inactive. A lack of activity, lethargy. But above these three modes of material nature is Vishuddha Sattva. And it is explained that when this Vishuddha Sattva is predominated by Sandini, it is perceivable as the existence of everything that is in the spiritual world. When it is predominated by Samvit, it is perceivable as knowledge and transcendence. And when it is predominated, Vishuddha Sattva is predominated by Ladini Shakti, it is perceived as the most confidential love of Godhead. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is explaining whether the internal potency, this Hladini Shakti, is the most perfect, complete essence of Vishuddha Sattva. Huh? It is, the Hladini Shakti is the all-inclusive, pure bliss, which is the essence of Vishuddha Sattva. And then he goes on to explain that the essence of Hladini Shakti is Prema Bhakti, pure love of God. And the essence of Prema Bhakti is Bhava. That pure, unalloyed, loving emotion toward Krishna. And the highest level, the highest pitch, it is said, the highest pitch, the essence of Bhava is Mahabhava. Mahabhava is the exclusive feeling of love and devotion that Srimati Radharani is offering to Krishna for his supreme pleasure.
Mahabhava Swarupa Sri Radha Thakurani Sarvaguna Kani Krishna Kanti Kanta Siromani Sri Radharani
is displayed in the dealings of the damsels of Braja and Srimati Radharani, who is the topmost participant in that transcendental group. The essence of the Hladini Shakti is love of Godhead. Srimati Radharani is the personified embodiment of this Hladini Shakti in transcendental consciousness. She is therefore the highest principle in love of Godhead and is the supreme lovable object of Sri Krishna. So in this way, why is Krishna Das Kaviraj explaining these things in such very, very elaborate detail and in such scientific way? Because those who are really serious about following the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must understand, to really have a true appreciation for the mercy and the glory of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they must understand, at least with some theoretical basis, who he really is. Most people that show respect to Lord Chaitanya, if you ask them, they think, ah, yes, Lord Chaitanya was a great devotee. How many of you have heard this? He was a very good devotee. There was Tulsidas, and then there was Mirabai, and then there was Lord Chaitanya, and then there was Narasimha Mehta, and then there was Tukaram, and Namdev. They are all great souls. We bow our head at the lotus feet of all of them. But they just make Lord Chaitanya to be a Paramhamsa pure devotee. Lord Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami wants to explain, he is not just a pure devotee. He is avatar. And then many others, they accept, yes, he's an avatar of Krishna. Yes, of course, Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya, he is an avatar of Krishna. But even that, you cannot appreciate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with just that. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami wants to give us a very, very deep appreciation of who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is before he even begins to tell us the Leela, the stories. We find in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, so far we've read 275 pages, he hasn't described any pastimes of Lord Chaitanya yet. He's holding back because he doesn't want to throw pearls to the swine of our misconceptions. He wants to tell the pastimes, but first he wants to prepare our consciousness for we can appreciate who he is and what he is. He's not just an avatar of Krishna. There are so many avatars of Krishna. Narasimha Dev, Vaman Dev, Ramchandra, they are all non-different than Krishna. But what is so special and supreme about this avatar of Lord Chaitanya that Rupa Goswami says he's the most magnanimous and supreme of all avatars? That he's Krishna, in the mood of Sri Radharani, tasting the sweetness of her love. But even that, how do we appreciate? Unless we understand, at least in principle, who is Radharani. So therefore we are reading about the internal potency, Sandini, Sandit, Padini, the gradual progression up to the point of Mahabhav, and that Srimati Radharani is the exclusive, only personality in all of material or spiritual existence that can understand or taste the sweetness of Mahabhav. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Krishna tasting for the first time. Of course, when we talk about eternal, first time means something that we cannot understand. When it says Kaviraja Goswami is describing when Lord Chaitanya was when Krishna was thinking, I cannot understand the love of Radharani. When he was thinking this in Goloka Vrindavan. We cannot put a date on this. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was appearing every day of Brahma. So Krishna, this is an eternal leela that he first tastes. It is an eternal leela happening eternally that he first tastes the sweetness of Radha's love. In this way we can understand that we are insignificant jivas and we are simply striving for the mercy of the Lord to understand even the most basic principles of spirit. But in this way, Kaviraj Goswami is explaining that here is Krishna, all of his avatars. He's performing so much work, but here, for the first time, he's coming to taste the sweetness of Mahabhav. The ultimate expression of his internal potency in the form of Sri Radha. This is Mahaprabhu. If you understand the three internal and three external reasons properly, according to principles, we may not have realizations of these matters, but according to principles, we must understand them. Then when we approach the divine Leela of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it will be with a real reverence and adoration and understanding that everything he does, this is who's doing it. Sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Chaitanya Charitamrita would read that he's telling jokes with his devotees. Sometimes he's playing with his devotees in so many wonderful ways, like a devotee. When we understand how the Supreme Godhead, with this particular supreme mood of Mahabhava, is acting in this way, then it brings us the greatest delight and treasure to our heart. It's like similarly when Krishna was a baby child, he was falling down. One time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was talking to one devotee of his, and he asked him, what is the supreme essence of all the scriptures? Said, I have studied all scriptures. My conclusion is, the only thing I want to know is that the Supreme Absolute Truth is crawling on his hands and legs in the courtyard of Nanda. Other than that, I don't know anything. To come to that state, that is the supreme essence of the scripture. Mahaprabhu was very pleased when he heard this. So this is the treasure of a devotee. That here Krishna is, he's crawling on his hands and knees, he's bringing the slippers from his father on his head, he's talking broken language, he's running away from his mother in fear. If we do not understand the transcendental qualities of Krishna, how he is the supreme absolute whole, the cause of all causes, acting in this way, how will we appreciate these beautiful pastimes? But when Krishna does something, the more ordinary he appears, more relishable it is to the heart of a devotee because he knows who he is. But for a person who does not understand the science of Krishna consciousness, the more ordinary
he appears, the more a person thinks, so what? All babies do this.
Krishna passed urine on the floor of the gopis.
Everybody's babies pass urine on the floor. It's only because we understand the science of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, who this Krishna is. He's the source of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. He's passing water. This is something glorious. It's wonderful. He's acting like an ordinary baby just to attract our minds.
So Chaviraja Goswami wants us to get a very, very, very scientific understanding of who is Krishna, who is Sri Radharani, what is this Mahabhava, what is this Ladini Shakti, who is this Lord Chaitanya.
Then I will begin my narration, he says, and then you will be able to really, really open your heart to the jewels of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's glorious pastimes. Situation therein is as a springboard to preach the necessity of Krishna consciousness. Any other questions? So never think that I'm a good devotee, I'm doing well. Because if you do that, you're laying right under Sakatasura. Always think that how much I must just hold on to the lotus feet of Guru and the Vaishnavas and not let go. Because if I let go for a second, what a dangerous position I'll be in. That is Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much.